This is Cry Justice with Judy Redlich, examining issues of importance to you, your family, and our community that the other media just won't cover. Now, here's Judy Redlich.
We are being bombarded with it daily, but are we being desensitized to it? How often do you thumb through those enticing magazines at your favorite grocery store checkout counter? What about the Abercrombie & Fitch catalogs targeted at our teenagers? Victoria's Secret ads, suggestive commercials, and innuendos in television shows? Are you subtly being desensitized to what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong? Hard and soft pornography. Can my still small voice really make a difference in our city, in our state, and in our nation? Stay with me as we explore this issue on this edition of Cry Justice. I have as my guest the director of the American Decency Association, Bill Johnson. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much, Judy.
Bill is a wealth of information on putting campaigns together when you don't like something in your community. My first question to you, Bill, is how important is it that we watch what we read, watch what we watch on TV, watch what comes into our homes, and can we really block the bad stuff from infiltrating our minds?
Well, Judy, I was a teacher in the public schools for 18 years, and I taught elementary age kids primarily, I'm talking primarily about fourth grade age children. One of the things that I noted as I began to teach was the impact of television primarily upon our children. And they became very familiar with whatever the most recent programs were, the leading stars, the leading characters. During my years of teaching, as I started in 1969 and taught well into the 1980s, there was no question about the fact, as I would talk with other teachers and parents and so on, that there was certainly a decline in the American culture. Verbiage that you would never hear in earlier years, swearing and so on, became increasingly apparent. There is no question that we are significantly impacted by what we watch, by what we view, by what we read. And I think that it's very important that people really give probably is more so than ever before attention to this significant point. Yes, I believe that in all regards, whether it's magazines, whether it's what's on the internet, what's on television, the movies that we select and choose, we are very, very vulnerable. And so we have to make some very significant decisions as to what we are going to be entertained by.
Your still small voice can make a difference. Maybe there's some listeners out here, Bill, who need some encouragement. Maybe they see something happening in their areas and they want to start a campaign to fight against it. But they're saying, I'm just one little voice. Where do I begin?
I'll give you one example. Last Christmas in the greater Grand Rapids, Michigan area, there was a mother that was very troubled over the explicit advertising in storefronts. Throughout this new mall in the greater Grand Rapids area, this lady just simply began to express concern to some of the stores and also to the general manager of the mall itself. She wasn't getting really any response from the stores, and we're talking about very explicit posters and mannequins and its imagery in stores like Victoria's Secret, for example, or Abercrombie and Fitch. And so little by little, she basically just said, okay, fine. If you're not going to be attentive, apparently you just think that this is only a one-person concern. But she said, I believe I can demonstrate to you that there are many, many other people that do share my concern. So she spent some time, wrote up a little petition, and then she just simply began to go around to her friends and to local churches and began to circulate this petition, basically urging this mall to take some direct action for the stores to make this mall a family-friendly mall. And so as little by little, within a couple of weeks period of time, she then also made herself available to the local television stations. She was gathering several thousand petitions over a short period of time because clearly many other people were concerned too. They just needed some lightning rod person to start the ball rolling. There was tremendous radio interviews, television spots, and there was newspaper coverage as well. And guess what? Within a couple of weeks period of time, there was some clearly some cleaning up taking place at this Crossroads Village Mall in Grand Rapids, all because one person was greatly concerned and had the courage and the desire and the convictions to begin to do something. Her efforts certainly have paid off.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. Now, when do you know which campaign to use, whether it's a letter-writing campaign, a boycott? How do you know which campaign is most effective? Statistically, maybe you could give us some insights.
Each issue, of course, is different. I think a person starts off with himself. And you go to a store, for example. I remember my wife was struggling over the fact that in a local grocery store that there was the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, for example, was being sold. She was just really troubled by that. She had spoken to the manager a number of times. The manager was basically heard her but didn't hear her, referred her to the corporate office, and she began to speak with the corporate office and just appealed. If you can get by with going one-on-one or at your local level, then praise the Lord. You know, if you can make a difference right there, and oftentimes you can, be thankful for that, but only take it as large as what you really need to take. If it's not working at that level, appeal to the higher level. Then you go to the higher level, and in this case, her appeals and her genuineness and her sincerity and her persistence, it did pay off, because ultimately, on this front, the corporate office, who had about 23 other different stores, did make the decision that they would no longer sell the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. And that has been in effect for probably 6 or 7 years. So I would say that, first of all, you want to start right with at the local level. If you don't need to make it any bigger than that, then that's fine, because it's not like you're trying to do damage to the business. You're just merely trying to get results because you're concerned.
That's pretty neat. Bill, maybe you can talk about some of the other campaigns.
Obviously, there are times where you're not going to have success with the local store or local chain of stores. You've spoken to them, and they basically listen to you, and they really don't respond. Well, I think at that point, it is important for you to step it up a little bit. I believe I have found that certainly in relationship to just to regular kinds of stores, grocery stores or gas stations that might sell pornography or that sort of business, that if you aren't getting any help there, a petition can truly be very, very successful. And then in the drafting of the petition, I guess you just have to be discerning as to whether you need to have a little bit more teeth into it. If you need to have some teeth into it, you might even have it be a boycott petition, because just using the boycott word, it does have more teeth to it.
You get an attorney to help you with that petition?
No, a petition really is not like necessarily like a legal document. It holds no legal weight. It's just merely something that you would use in the regular everyday mainstream shopping environment that we're talking
about. So
it's
like a condensed survey in the fact that you have all these signatures on one sheet of paper saying, yeah, I'm concerned about that, right?
Yes, absolutely. By having numbers of other voices sign on with you, it certainly adds significant weight to what you're all about. I know recently in a local Walmart store, I was concerned about a Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar, and part of my concern was that you take anything that has to do with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit look. If no one speaks out about it, little by little, that sort of imagery will become more and more main fare. So it isn't necessarily about just what's there right now. It's also a matter of if nobody does anything or says anything, then the degrading and the degradation and the decline, it will just continue to, you'll see the erosion. But in this case, I spoke with a local manager. He more or less was trying to blow me off. But as soon as I started mentioning a petition, all of a sudden he had ears that heard. And within several days, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar no longer existed in that local Walmart.
So, Bill, you told him that you were going to start a petition drive.
That's correct. And prior to that time, he was saying, well, I'm a local manager of a Walmart, and it isn't up to me. It's really up to the national. But I had told him, yes, but I've spoken with the national, and they've told me that it's a local matter. And then I was also aware of another local Walmart on the other side of the state that had made some alterations just because a person expressed concern. And I pointed that out to him. He was really not responding in any kind of a positive way until I mentioned the petition word. And then all of a sudden, the conversation just totally changed.
Wow, that's pretty neat. So all Bill said was, well, maybe I better start a petition drive so that we can get these swimsuit calendars out of the store.
I think a lot of it has to do with a person before they start anything. You really have to count the cost yourself. Are you really willing to stick in this thing for a long period of time? Are you really committed? Because you just can't go hot and cold on these things. If you're going to do it, then you better do it, and you better give it your all, and expect to give it your all for a long period of time. And I think that sometimes that people, they say they care, but they don't care enough to really back it with a long time commitment over a long period of time. That person is capable of being successful on any number of fronts. You know, whether it's billboards along the expressway, that would be another battle that. That is oftentimes is worthy of being taken on if there's explicit imagery on a billboard, for example. But there has to be that real commitment, and a person has to make that decision right from the get-go.
We're talking with Bill Johnson, and he is the executive director of the American Decency Association. Bill, if people would like more tips, do you have a handout that says from square one you go to square two and this is what you do? Do you have a how to do it? If you see something in your area that you don't think is right, how to get that eliminated?
We have a vast array of material, certainly on the website as well. But if a person were to call here, we would be able to give them that.
So if they want more information, like a how-to sheet, how can they call you?
They could call me toll-free at 888-733-2326. That's 888-733-2326. 2326.
Bill started as a school teacher in the public schools. He then worked in his local area with the American Family Association and now is director of the American Decency Association. Bill, what other examples can you give? I just love hearing these examples of success that have happened because one or two people have let their small, still voice be heard.
Like in our town, for example, this few years ago. And it was a newsstand. And they had over 30 different varieties of porno magazines. Basically, there were a lot of naysayers in town. They said, oh, that pornography has been there for many years. You won't be able to make any impact upon that at all. And so there was the first efforts to go and speak with a store manager, the store owner, express concern and just say, you know, this kind of pornographic stuff here, it's just not appropriate. And the store also sold like Hallmark candies and sold a lot of good stuff, you know. And here it was, a store that was just really doing so much evil by having this stuff available. The store manager, he basically made it seem as though, you know, what a joke. You know, most everybody is supportive of this. You know, you might as well just go find some other kind of cause to be concerned in. But there was an effort to pass a petition, and this petition was circulated amongst different churches in the town. And within about a several-week period of time, there were 600 petitions or 600 signatures. And that doesn't even seem like a huge number of signatures, but it was enough because a number of these people truly did frequent this man's store. And so he received this during the holiday season when a lot of Hallmark kinds of cards and candies would have been sold. He wasn't happy about it. But he did get out of the pornography business, and it was a major surprise to many in the community, and certainly that owner of that store.
On a national level, Bill, I look at the voter apathy in the last election. How many people are saying, does my still small voice make a difference?
We took on a project here, Judy, that you're familiar with. Probably some of your listeners, maybe a lot of your listeners, are familiar with the shock jock out of New York City, Howard Stern. Howard Stern came on CBS television back in 1998 in August, and our office, which is not a large office, there's three of us that are full-time, one person that's part-time. We have a team of part-time staff as well, paid staff, and we have volunteers all across the country that initially came on 79 stations nationwide. We began to tape that show, get tape results back from locations throughout the country, coast to coast, and we began to write letters to the advertisers of the Howard Stern show in places like Los Angeles and Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Detroit, and many other locations. over these years, we found that through the faithfulness, that the letters that we wrote to advertisers made a significant difference. Over this several-year period of time, that 93% of the advertisers that we have written to have withdrawn from sponsoring the Howard Stern TV show. CBS dropped this perverse, this very foul pornographic television show, the Howard Stern show. So yes, I'm certainly here to tell you that faithfulness does make an incredible difference. We've seen it again and again.
Maybe someone's saying, well, I'd rather help on a big project because I don't have tons of time to start a project, but I'd like to help on a full-scale project that's already in existence. What are some of the projects that the American Decency Association is doing?
One of the big projects that we are involved in is the continued monitoring of the Howard Stern Daily radio show. And we have monitors all across the country, including somebody in St. Louis that tapes the Howard Stern show. These individuals send these tapes back to our office, and then we determine who the advertisers are. And then we get the advertising information out for this Howard Stern show, and we urge people, like in St. Louis or in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania or Philadelphia or Grand Rapids, Michigan or Detroit or wherever
he's aired.
Wherever he's aired and wherever we're taping, and we are taping in upwards of, I think it's about 17 different communities or cities right now. Our letters make a difference, even though we're writing from Michigan out to St. Louis, but oftentimes our efforts are even made that much more complete when we have people in the local area of like a St. Louis or Pittsburgh or whatever that will also join in into the letter writing. And we have seen 19 radio stations that have dropped the Howard Stern show just within the last couple of years. And when there's a news report that comes out of that local community, the question is always asked, well, you know, why did this program not make it, or why did this station drop this show? We oftentimes find that it's that the newspaper report, as they interview the local station manager, is that the program was highly controversial, and it was very difficult to find advertisers that were willing to put their corporate name or have their corporate name identified with this sleazy radio program. But that certainly is a project that's been ongoing. Stern still has 41 radio stations, but rather than the network growing, he is on the decrease.
And you encourage people also to boycott the products that advertise on the Howard Stern show.
That's correct. We also have a list of advertisers that we urge people to join in the boycott of, and we have found many national advertisers. In fact, we have seen over 15,000 advertisers that have dropped the Howard Stern show. And that includes advertisers like Microsoft, for example, a number of years ago, General Motors, and most of the automakers, actually, just simply by the fact that people write and express concern, it settles it for them. They don't want to have themselves be aligned with a controversial program like the Howard Stern Show.
If you'd like to help in this effort or any other national efforts, 1-888-733-2326 is the number that you can call. Tell us about another national campaign you're working on.
Another campaign that we're working on is there has been an awful lot of information that now has been disseminated because lots of Christian organizations have gotten involved in this, but it's the concern regarding Abercrombie & Fitch's catalog, quarterly catalog.
Oh, I know.
A couple of years ago in the state of Michigan and also in the state of Illinois, there were a couple of politicians in the state of Michigan. It was the Attorney General, Jennifer Granholm, became very upset with Abercrombie & Fitch. They were disseminating Abercrombie & Fitch's pornographic catalog, and minors could simply pick this up at $6 a hit at their local mall as they went to the Abercrombie & Fitch store. And what a lot of people were not aware of is that if you open up a quarterly catalog, you would find that as you look through the first 100 pages or so, that almost every page has nudity in it, frontal nudity, rear nudity. It's absolutely incredible. And certainly the Attorney General of the state of Michigan made a very major impact with Abercrombie & Fitch, because Abercrombie & Fitch, upon getting themselves reprimanded and facing criminal charges, they ended up putting cellophane over the catalogs that they sell. But one thing that they did not get, and that is Abercrombie & Fitch does not seem to understand the fact that there are millions of people in this country that don't like to have their youth targeted by pornography, which is what Abercrombie & Fitch was doing and continues to do. We do know that Abercrombie & Fitch's profits are quite significantly down for the last quarter. They have more stores this year than they did last year, but their overall dollars of intake is less than it was a year ago. But of course, they say it has nothing to do with the boycott. But many more people need to join and become a part of this boycott, and it's very important that people, once they are familiar with this important boycott, they need to tell their friends and their neighbors, because Abercrombie & Fitch has been very, very bold, and they're saying they once again will be coming back and utilizing pornography to target our youth and to try them draw into their stores and buy their product.
Abercrombie & Fitch did not publish its December 2001 quarterly. They say it's because of the mood of the people of September 11th, but there was a great boycott going on with the American Decency Association and others against Abercrombie & Fitch and their practices. However, I just got an email the other day about their next upcoming catalog, that it's going to be hotter than ever. So we really need to watch, and we need to boycott those products, and we need to do everything we can to keep it out of the hands of those they are targeting.
Bill, that number again, if people would like more information about any of those campaigns we've already talked about and others on your platter,
is 888-733-2326. That's 888-733-2326. And we'll offer any kind of encouragement, counsel, materials that we have available to ourselves.
American Decency Association. Now, what do you say to folk who say, I just look the other way, that stuff doesn't affect me because I know right from wrong? My teenager, when I talk to her about such, says, well, Mom, don't you think you've raised me well? I do know right from wrong.
Well, Judy, I think that's a very good question, and it's a question that is that I believe is one that is very, very relevant to our day, because I think that it's very safe to say, and I'm a parent myself of four children, and I've gone through all the adolescent and early 20s of stage of raising young people, and I've worked with young people all my life. There's a lot of denial that comes out of American homes, even out of Christian homes. This really saddens me a great deal, and I believe that part of the reason why there is such denial is the fact that there is so much desensitization. Well, let me explain that, Judy. What I believe happens is that so many people are so desensitized in our day, in our age. You know, we all like movies. We all have enjoyed good videotapes and so on and so forth. But little by little, when the masses of American people have clearly placed themselves into positions where they're watching programming that uses the Lord's name in vain, that shows sexual innuendo, that highlights sexual themes, violence, and so on, little by little, we have become a very desensitized people, where there are so few people now that have the capability of being discerning as to what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, what is crossing the line. How many people, for example, would still let their television sets continue to draw out the trash that it draws out, even after hearing the Lord's name taken a few times or some partial nudity? I suggest to you that the vast majority of American people, and that includes people within the church, are also no longer discerning as to what is good and what is right and what is bad. So I believe that the implications of that are we have become worldly, and we've become confused as to what is right and what is wrong. And so there are many that would say, oh, I know what's right, but they are not keeping before themselves honoring material that honors God, what is builds them up and strengthens them and encourages them and makes them better people, but instead is tearing them down and is tearing down the family as well. All you have to do is look at some of the statistics of our day, the fact that too high a percentage of Christian families are ending in divorces and breakups. There are many, many concerning statistics similar to that.
Bill sends out weekly updates on projects. If you'd like to be a part of their email list, I'm sure if you call that 800 number, which is 888-733-2326, they'll start sending you those lists. And I really like those lists because they do mention the monitoring. They mention the statistical concerning what the monitoring has found. They mentioned the advertisers. It's something that maybe you need an education on. Maybe you don't even know what's happening. Any other projects you want to talk about?
The way that we have been led by the Lord in all of this is that it's fairly easy to report about what's going on, report what other organizations are doing. But I really believe there is so much. It's vital in our day to be an organization that not only reports but is also very much involved in the action itself, and then in our action that we can report our results and ask others to stand together with us in what we're doing. And certainly one of those fronts has to do with indecency at America's supermarket checkout. Here's a front that is so important, and it affects everybody really, because we all have to go to the grocery stores. We all shop, you know, for our milk and our bread and all those kinds of things. So we all have to be going to grocery stores. But when we go to the grocery store, what are we seeing there at the local checkout counter? And the accounts of so many people, including ourselves, is that the magazines are becoming increasingly racy. Partially nude women in the titles on these magazines are sexually explicit. This, again, is a front that points out that because of the fact that the vast majority of people are quiet, are just they look the other way, they don't say anything, so little by little our environment then becomes filled, saturated with pornographic imagery. As a result of that, we felt that it was important that we speak up, first of all, in our own local community, and then as we were having success with that, we felt that we needed to try to encourage other people to do a similar thing in their own local community all across this country.
Maybe people are saying, I tried to do that, and nothing positive happened, and I got frustrated because I talked to the store manager, I talked to the chain owner, et cetera, et cetera. What advice would you give to those people?
Well, I'm sure that is the experience of some people, and I believe that's when it comes back down to, as necessary then, developing a petition for your local store. You know, when you consider the fact that here's let's say a Cosmopolitan magazine or a Glamour magazine or some magazine of that variety, I'm not exactly sure what the price of those magazines are, though we buy them here regularly because we review them, we go through them, and we write letters also to the advertisers of those magazines, or we have in recent months. But it can come to the point then where you just simply do have to go to that manager and say, you know, I'm really disappointed. You know, here I am. I come in here. I spend $75, $100 for groceries a week, and you're telling me that my expression of concern does not have any hold on you? If they say that it doesn't, or they still are not making a move, then you really only need to get a couple other people that will get them to also express their concern. But I believe that even beyond that, though, is the need for a petition. You know, if you just think about it, even getting the signatures of 10 or 15 people, having a statement on your petition that makes it clear, you know, that there's another store down the road, and you know, you're really on the point of taking your business elsewhere because of their total lack of concern about decency standards at the checkout counter. I think that most people will find, if they take a step like that, they will see that there is a change, that it will be made.
There is hope. Your small voice can make a difference. So start today. Bill Johnson, American Decency Association Director. Bill, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you very much, Judy. Appreciate any help that we can get to try to get this word out.
And again, the number 1-888-733-2326.
This is Cry Justice. I'm Judy Redlick. Email me with your comments to knlc24judy@hearshelpnet.org. Please join me next time.